It's time for light that darkness can't defeat. It's time to escape from the shadow of death and into abundant life. For the people living in darkness have seen a great light, and those living in the shadow of death, a light has dawned. Welcome to the Great Light Program with David Oyedepo Jr. Get set to arise and shine, because your light has come.
Vital keys to unlocking the supernatural. Remember that the prophetic focus for the month, as we heard earlier, is I am redeemed to operate in the supernatural. Vital keys to unlocking the supernatural. We must be reminded, according to scriptures, that we live in a kingdom that operates by keys. Matthew chapter 16, verse 19, behold, I give unto you the keys of the kingdom. Whatsoever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. The kingdom of God operates by keys. Keys here connote a revelation of what must be done to take delivery of what redemption has provided. In the first service, God's servant, our father, said it this way, that information is knowing what God has provided. Revelation is knowing how to access it. It is good to know what God has provided, but it is better to know how to get it. And this is what we refer to as the keys of the kingdom. Luke chapter 11 and verse 52, the Bible says, woe to you lawyers, for you have taken away the key of knowledge. So revelation, knowledge, is what we refer to as the keys of the kingdom. In Isaiah chapter 5 verse 13, the Bible says, it said, my people are gone into captivity because they lack knowledge. Their honorable men are famished and the multitude is dried up with thirst. The problem is an absence of revelation. So it takes us walking in the light of God's word in order to command the supernatural. And there are some vital keys that we must come to realize if you and I are going to operate in the supernatural, and that's our focus in this great month. For example, we know that anyone that will operate in the supernatural must have a valid and proven new birth experience. Until a man is born again, that individual is natural. The Bible says in the book of John chapter 3 verse 8, it says there, John chapter 3 verse 8, it said, the wind blows wherever it lists. It said, you hear the sound of it, you cannot tell where it's going to or where it's coming from. It said, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. So everyone that is born again is born to live a supernatural life. And that shall become your experience from this month in the name of Jesus. Somebody believe it, say a loud amen. I said somebody believe it, say a loud amen. That shall become your experience from this month in the name of Jesus. So we shall be uncovering from God's word the vital keys to unlocking the supernatural. And number one is a commitment to spiritual growth and development. A commitment to spiritual growth and development. The Bible makes clear in the book of Galatians chapter 4 verse 1 and 2. It said, an heir, as long as he is a child, he differeth nothing from a servant, though he is Lord of all. He's put under tutors and governors until the time that is appointed of the Father. He's an heir. He owns everything. Everything is in his name, but yet he's not different from his servant. In other words, without growth, if you don't grow, you will groan. It takes growth to escape groaning. It is spiritual growth that allows you to manifest supernatural authority. Somebody understand that, say loud amen. This is important. We must therefore commit ourselves to spiritual growth and development if we are going to command the supernatural. All through the scriptures, you discover that it is sons that manifest, not children. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 19, it said, the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation, not of the children of God, but of the sons of God. Until we grow into sonship, our manifestation will be restricted. It takes our sonship, our development, our growth, in order to demonstrate our divinity. This is very important. So we must understand the necessity for spiritual growth and development. Like I said earlier, if we don't grow, we will groan. It takes growing to escape groaning. Everyone that will manifest the supernatural demands of necessity spiritual growth and development. And it's important for us to recognize that spiritual growth and development is not automatic. It is the product of certain conscious steps that we must take. The question is, how do I grow spiritually? How do I develop myself spiritually? There are two vital keys that will help you and I to develop spiritually. The first of them is the word of God. The Bible says in the book of Acts chapter 20 and verse 32, it said, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among them that are sanctified. The word of God is our builder. Peter speaking said that as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. So our growth is determined by our appetite for the word. That is why you see in the natural, when a mother sees a child that does not have appetite, she's very concerned, because the growth of that child is dependent on the appetite. The more the child is able to eat, the more the child is able to grow. In the same vein, the more you are able to eat the spiritual food of the word, the more you are able to grow. That's why Jesus said in Matthew chapter 4 verse 4, he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. The more of his word you take, the more like God you look. So the supernatural is at the mercy of our appetite for the word of God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 18, he said, we all with open face, we behold him as in a glass, and we are changed into the same image from glory to glory as by the Spirit of the Lord. I don't know if you have observed, when a baby is born, there's always a lot of discussion about who the child looks like. Is he looking like the father? Is he looking like the mother? But it is only a matter of time. As growth comes, the baby's face begins to take shape. Suddenly you begin to see the face of the father inside the child, because as the child is growing, the more it begins to look like the father. As you take in God's word, the more you will look like him. He said, we all with open face, as we are beholding him, as we are eating the food of the word, he said, we shall begin to look like the image of God. When the devil sees you, he begins to see God in you. He begins to see the power of God around you. He begins to see the Almighty back in you. Somebody believe it, say louder, amen. I said, somebody believe it, say louder, amen. So our growth in the word makes us to look more like God. Number two thing we do if we are going to grow spiritually is we must engage the force of prayer. It takes prayer to grow. The Bible tells us in the book of Jude verse 20, it said, building up yourselves upon your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Our fervency in prayer gives urgency to our growth. Our fervency in prayer gives urgency to our growth. The more committed we are to pray, the more deliberate we are about growing. That is why, watch it, when you see a believer who just got born again but is committed to the word of God and committed to prayer, they will grow quickly. And in the realm of the spirit, growth is not about age. It is about commitment to spiritual practice. It is never about age. The more committed you are to the things that grow you, the more you grow spiritually. In the realm of the spirit, it is possible for you to be born again for 30 years and still be a baby. And it's possible for you to be born again for 6 months and be a son. It is all a product of your conscious engagement. So how fast you grow is determined by how much you engage. You engage the word of God, you engage the art of prayer, the more you begin to experience spiritual growth. Shout hallelujah. I said shout hallelujah. I said shout hallelujah. And number three thing we do to build ourselves spiritually and to grow is to exercise ourselves. 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 7 and verse 8. The Bible tells us there. It said that bodily exercise profits little. It said, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having the promise of the life that now is and that which is to come. Spiritual exercise, engaging ourselves in spiritual exercise. What an opportunity we have this week again, not only to pray, not only to pursue after souls, but what an opportunity we have to wait upon the Lord in the week of emphasis. Because our spiritual exercise is an opportunity for growth. I see God engracing each one of us to exercise ourselves abundantly in the name of Jesus. So commitment to spiritual growth and development is the first and most important key for us to unlock the supernatural. Number two key is commitment to engaging biblical mentality. Commitment to engaging biblical mentality. In Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 7, the Bible says to us there, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Put it this way, that your mentality determines your reality. How you think is what determines how you live. Everything that Christ has done for us in redemption is available within each one of us, but you and I have a responsibility to think properly in line with scriptures. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, the Bible says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Without a new mindset, you can't have a new lifestyle. It takes a new mindset to experience a new lifestyle. For example, the Bible makes us to understand in John chapter 3 and verse 6, it said, whatsoever is born of the flesh is flesh. And whatsoever is born of the Spirit is spirit. I remember many years ago, for the first time I was hearing God's servant talk about this scripture. And it caught my attention. He said, whatever is born of the flesh is flesh. And whatever is born of the Spirit is spirit, not spiritual. There are many spiritual people that are not spirit conscious. They are conscious of their activity, but not their reality. Please hear this and hear it very well. You are not just spiritual, you are a spirit. You see, a man can swim, but he's not a fish. Swimming is done by fish, and fish can swim. Even though a man may be able to swim, it does not make him a fish. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I'd like you to understand this morning that even though you look like an ordinary man, you are not ordinary. Your content is different. You look like them, but you are not like them. You carry a physical body like them, but you are not like them. Inside of you is a God being. You are not just ordinary mankind. No. Put it this way. You are the God kind of mankind. Wherever they see you, they are seeing the God model of men walking upon the earth. That shall become your experience in the name of Jesus. Now, in John chapter 4, verse 24, the Bible says, John 4, 24, the Bible says, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must do so in spirit and in truth. If indeed God is a spirit, and we are born of God, then anyone that is born of God is born a spirit. You are carrying human flesh, but your content is a living spirit. Your content is a living spirit. That means that what died in Adam at the beginning was quickened in you at salvation. The thing that gave Adam dominion at the beginning was quickened in you at salvation. That's what made Adam to be walking in the midst of the garden. Lion on the left, tiger on the right, wolf in the front, hyena at the back, and not one could bite. Because he was carrying a living spirit. He was operating in authority. That's what made Adam go to the rivers and begin to name the shark, name the whale, name all the beasts of the sea, the octopuses, and all the hippopotamuses, and everything that was located in the waters, and not one could bite. Because he was carrying in him a living spirit. How can you carry a living spirit and be tormented by evil spirits? How can you be carrying a living spirit and be oppressed by demonic spirits? You are not just a spiritual man. You are a living spirit. Now hear this. I heard God's servant, our father, say in the second service. He said, now, evil possessed people are called demonized. They are not demons. They are demonized people, and yet we see them demonstrate authority. You are not now a spiritualized person, you are a spirit. You are operating as a spirit in physical body. They are demonized. You are not just spiritualized, you are actually a spirit. A living, speaking spirit just like God. To suffer oppression is an abomination. From today, that living spirit in you will begin to take dominion. Somebody believe it, say louder, amen. I said, somebody believe it, so begin to say louder, amen. So we must possess the mentality of the supernatural. It must become our mental state at all times. Now, I'd like us to think about the consequence of that statement. I am not just spiritual, I am a spirit. The question is this. Is there a hospital for treating spirits? Then it means sickness is not to be your experience. Is there a place where they can begin to diagnose spirits? No. Then it means that to be oppressed, tormented, buffeted is not your portion. By redemption, you are ordained a spirit. Have you ever seen somewhere where an accident just happened and people gather around and there's nothing on the floor, but they say a spirit is lying down on the floor because he just had an accident? No way. Spirits don't have accidents. You are not permitted to be accidented. You can't hear of where they say armed robbers came and they shot a spirit. It means that if you are a spirit, you are unharmable, unhurtable, untouchable. You are insurmountable. You are indestructible. Somebody believe it, say louder, amen. You are a spirit. You must possess that mentality. The supernatural is your natural estate. You are to operate like Christ. The Bible says in John 14 and verse 12, he said, they that believe upon me, the works that I do, shall ye do also. And greater works than these shall ye do, because I go to my Father. When you saw Jesus walking physically on the earth, there was nothing that made him tied to the human experience. Pilate looked at him and said, do you not know I have power to let you go? He said, no man can take my life from me. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it up again. He said, do you not know I can presently pray and my Father will give unto me 12 legion of angels? He said, my kingdom is not of this world. It is of another world. Or else my servants will fight on my behalf. Jesus was very conscious of the fact that he was not natural. The truth is this. So are you. You are not natural. If you are born again, you are not natural. If you are born again, you are not natural. You are born again to live a supernatural life. And that shall become your experience in the name of Jesus. I said that shall become your experience in the name of Jesus. That shall become your experience in the name of Jesus. That shall become your experience in the name of Jesus. So it means the supernatural, signs, wonders, all of that should become our natural estate. No wonder the Bible says in Isaiah 8 and verse 18, he said, I and the children with the Lord has given me, there for signs and for wonders in Israel. Everyone that is a child of God is ordained by God as a sign and a wonder. You are ordained to live a supernatural life. That is, they cannot explain you, but they can't deny it. They see you, they see what is happening. There is no natural explanation. You enter into the company, you came in at the base, and now they just catapulted you to the CEO. Nobody can explain it. They can't understand it, but they cannot deny it. The reason they can't deny it is that you are there writing their letters. You are there signing their checks. You are there taking authority in the place. They can't deny it. Simply by operating in the supernatural. From this moment forward, you shall never be limited to the natural again. I say you shall never be limited to the natural again. Somebody believe it, say louder, amen. What is God telling us? He's saying to you and to me, we must change our thinking to change our living. We must change our thinking to change our living. It is real, but for you to experience it, it must saturate your thoughts. In the book of Philippians chapter 4 and in verse 8, the Bible lists a number of things. And if you look at the quality of the things that are written here, only the word of God satisfies every one of those qualities. And it said, think on these things. That is, take God's word and begin to think on it. What comes out of your life is determined by what goes into your heart. Proverbs chapter 4 verse 23, it said, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. You and I have a responsibility after salvation to reprogram our mind. It is our duty to take responsibility and begin to reprogram our mind. You see, if you have used certain phones, you discover that you get a phone, they can reset a phone for you to factory setting. And that means everything on the phone is wiped off. But you want to put that phone and customize it to yourself. You must now begin to reprogram it personally. If I give you a phone, for example, the phone's name may be called Pastor David's phone. But we reset it now, and suddenly you can set it with your own name. You can put your own details there. You can put everything you desire there. That is the reprogramming process. When you became born again, what happened is that you were taken back to factory setting. And now God says it will take your renewing of the mind to reprogram you to begin to operate as God designed you to operate. From this moment forward, you shall operate as God designed you to operate. Number three key to unlocking the supernatural is commitment to serving God and the interest of his kingdom. Commitment to serving God and the interest of his kingdom. Every time you find a man, a woman committed to serving God, they end up as a living wonder to their world. Daniel chapter 3 verse 24 to 28, we find these three Hebrew boys, and suddenly they went before the king and said, no, we are not going to bow before this image. Our commitment is to serve God and serve God alone. And they cast the three of them bound into the fiery furnace. Those who pushed them in died on the way, but the ones they pushed in were moving around in the fire. And suddenly Nebuchadnezzar said, I see four men. Were there not three there? They're bound. I see them loose walking around in the fire. And he shouted, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out of the fire. And they came out of the fire. The Bible said, not only could the fire not burn them, the fire could not touch their clothes, and even the smell of fire was not upon their body. And they beheld this man upon whom the fire had no power. The fire had no power. What was their qualification? Servants of the Most High God. We just heard the testimony of one of us who began to engage serving God on the altar of prayer in the pursuit of souls. He said, paying for WAEC, paying for examinations, paying for all kinds of things for his new converts. And when God pushed him forward, he pushed him 40 quantum leaps at once. 40 quantum leaps. You see, when you have a little child, that is pushed by another child. The child that is pushed may move forward a few steps. But when you have a wrestler take a child and push him forward, you discover that that child catapults levels. When men are pushing you, your progress will be gradual. When God is pushing you, it will be sporadic. And everyone that commits to serving God has God pushing them forward. God just took that man and pushed him, and he landed at 40 quantum leap from where he started. As you are serving God in this Operation Run season, where God has brought us to our enthronement level, as God pushes you, you will land where no eye or no ear has heard before. Somebody believe it, say louder, amen. Your commitment to serving God provokes your existence in the realm of the supernatural. When we obey and serve God in truth, we commit him to manifest himself unto us. John 14 and verse 21, he said, "He that hath my commandment and keepeth them, it is him that loveth me. And he shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself unto him." Everyone that is committed to serving God, doing the things that God commands, he said, God is said to manifest himself. I see God manifesting himself in your direction. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Beyond that, serving God supernaturally protects, secures, and defends us against all attacks of the wicked one. It supernaturally protects, secures, and defends us against all attacks of the wicked one. Job chapter 1 verse 8 and verse 9. He said concerning Job, "Have you not blessed him? You have blessed the works of his hand. You have put an edge around him and around all that is hard. You have caused his goods to increase in the land, and you have blessed him on every side." So the blessing is there, but the protection is there. The defense is there. The security is there. You must come to understand that only the backing of God can secure a destiny. Only the backing of God can secure a destiny. Only the backing of God can secure a destiny. There is no human security apparatus that can secure a destiny. Not one. But when God is your defense, by reason of your commitment to serving him, then there is nothing that is permitted to touch you. Nothing shall be permitted to touch you. In the book of Luke chapter 10, verse 17 down to verse 19. Having returned from where they were sent, the Bible says the 70 returned again with joy from the assignment. And they said, even the devils were subject unto us. And the Bible tells us in verse 18, and he said, "I beheld Satan as he went on this assignment, falling like lightning from heaven. And behold, now I give unto you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and all the powers of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means," that is, there is no how it can try to make it, "nothing shall by any means hurt you." No arrow can reach you. No weapon can formed against you can prosper. It frustrates the devices of the crafty. It does not allow them to perform their own enterprise. Shout hallelujah. All of this as a result of serving God. I'd like us to recognize, therefore, your stewardship to God is absolutely to your benefit. It ushers you into the realm of the supernatural. It protects, secures, and defends you against the assault of the wicked. I see each one of us enjoying the full-scale defense of the Almighty in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody believe me, say a loud amen. Amen. Now, it's important for us to recognize today is our Breaking Generational Curses service. And it's important for us to recognize that generational curses can be broken. And the good news is that for you, it will be broken today. Most curses are often generational. In Exodus chapter 20 verse 4 and 5, the Bible talks about the Lord visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, the children's children, to the third and the fourth generation. Most curses are generational. Before Christ came, since the fall, man was living under a curse. But after Christ came, Galatians 3:13 and 14 says Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is every man that hangs upon the tree, that the blessing of Abraham may come upon the Gentiles, and that we may receive the promise of the Spirit by faith. So through Christ's death and resurrection, there was a cancellation of every authority of the enemy to impose a curse upon you. The Bible tells us in the book of Colossians chapter 2, verse 14 and verse 15, the Bible tells us there that he was blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that were written against us, which was contrary to us. He took it out of the way, nailing them to his cross. And in verse 15, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. What that simply means is that Jesus came for the cancellation of the curse on humanity. When any man therefore accepts Christ, he has come out of a cursed lineage. It means any curse still manifesting on any life is illegal as long as he's born again. Anyone that is in Christ has the legal right to be free. Anyone that is in Christ has the legal right to be free. The question is then, why is it that there are manifestations of curses everywhere? The Bible says in Matthew 13 and verse 28, he said, did you not sow good seed in your ground? How come there are tares? He said, an enemy has done it. And I like you to know that he did it illegally. But today the thief is caught, and that means your liberty must be established. I said, today that thief is caught, and that means that your liberty must be established. I said, today that thief is caught, and that means your liberty must be established. What are we saying? You have a right to be free. And what is a curse? Anything of long continuance. Evil is not permitted to be celebrating anniversary in your life. Anniversary of sickness, anniversary of oppression, anniversary of stagnation. Anything that is of long continuance is a curse. And today, everything that has taken residence illegally in any department of your life, today, by the authority of Jesus Christ, you are coming out totally free. Somebody believe me, say a loud amen. Therefore, expect every curse, generational or diabolical, to be broken in your life today. Somebody believe me, say a loud amen. Or for that to take place, as you have the opportunity later in this service, you must open your mouth wide and declare war. What you don't speak against will remain. He said, if you say to this mountain, be removed, be cast into the sea, and you doubt not in your heart, you will have whatsoever you say. So if you don't speak against it, it will stay. But when you speak against it, you will have what you say. I don't know what has been hanging around any department of your life, but today you have the right to speak against it and say, no, your expiry date has finally come. You can't be celebrating anniversary of evil in my life. No, from this day, the siege must be broken. Somebody believe and say louder, amen. I said, somebody believe and say louder, amen. In Isaiah chapter 54 and verse 17, he said, no weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue that rises up against you in judgment, you are the one responsible to condemn it. So it is you that will open your mouth and trigger fire against everything that is standing against your liberty. There is no mountain anywhere that has the permission to stay where your mouth speaks in faith. Today, as you speak in faith, your liberty shall be completely established. I say your liberty shall be completely established. So you can win the war by declaring war against the adversary. But it's important for us to understand that when the curse is broken, it must be replaced by the blessing. And stewardship is the way to activate the blessing of God that will avert the curses of life. When a man obeys and serves God, the blessing of God becomes his portion. Exodus 23, verse 25 and 26. It said, you shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless. The blessing comes as the service is offered. It means that as you commit yourself to serving God, the blessing of God rests upon your life. And the interesting thing about the blessing is this: when God blesses, anyone that tries to curse is cursed. Genesis chapter 12, beginning from verse 1 to 3, he said to Abraham, I will bless you, you will be a blessing. He said, and you, all the families of the earth, will be blessed. And anyone that blesses you will be blessed, and anyone that curses you will be cursed. The power of the blessing is this: even when the curse takes place where you are not aware, God goes to answer on your behalf. Therefore, commit yourself to serving God, and you commit God to blessing you. And that blessing remains an eternal aversion for every curse. Those who God curses remain cursed, but those who God blesses remain blessed. No one can bless, no one can curse whom God has blessed. And today, I see you walking into the company of those who remain under the blessing. Somebody believe it, say loud amen. I said, somebody believe it, say louder amen. The good news is this: today is your day. Lift your hand to heaven and give God thanks for his word.
Someone's knocking at the door. Someone's knocking at the door. Can you hear him knocking? Can you hear him knocking? Jesus, Jesus, Jesus is at the door.
Say after me, Lord Jesus, I come to you today. I know that I'm a sinner, but I know you died for me, and on the third day you rose again. Jesus, come into my life. Be my Lord and Savior. Take control of me from this day forward. Now I know that I am born again. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Now I pray for you, Father. I thank you today for these precious ones you have drawn into your kingdom. Let the grace that has brought them keep them in the name of Jesus Christ. And Lord, for each one of them, we decree today that the barriers against their life and destiny be broken in the name of Jesus. Grace to walk with you all the days of their lives. Release it upon them. In Jesus' precious name, we have prayed. Somebody believe, say aloud, amen.
If you have just received Christ as your Lord and Savior, or were blessed through this broadcast, we would love to hear from you. For inquiries and testimonies, send an email to info@tglmedia.org. We also invite you to visit one of our Winners Chapel churches near you anywhere around the world. Until next time, keep walking in the great light.